Such words come from probably the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. All about suffering. Right in the heart of it, when he was really hurting, comes those words, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And all these thousands of years later, we still celebrate because he could see this coming. And so could King David in Psalm 51 that we've been meditating on through the Lenten season and now to the very last verse, Psalm 51, verse 19. "Then you will be pleased with righteous sacrifices, burnt offerings and whole offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." Word of the Lord, we pray. Jesus, fill us with sorrow for your death, reverence for your holiness, gratitude for your grace, and joy for your victory. Amen. Just dawned on me looking at these last two verses, preparing for the two sermons today, this idea that nobody was happy with Easter, the first Easter. Nobody, not even Jesus' friends. Jesus' friends wanted Easter without the cross. You know, little bunnies and popping along and Easter eggs, they probably could afford them because they raised their own, you know. It was a good time if we could just have Easter without the cross. And then, Jesus' enemies, they still want Easter without the empty tomb. But we just prove over and over again that we need Easter just the way God gave it. With the cross and with the empty tomb. And he brings it all together in these verses that might sound a little strange because most of us don't have experience like this with burnt offerings, sacrifices, whole offerings. God, what's that got to do with us anymore? Plenty. But you got to go back as we have been in these past weeks in that life of David, which if nothing else proves that the Bible sure is not boring. People that say that haven't read it. Wow. King of Israel, sweet psalmist, wrote most of the Psalms, 150 of them. Not all his, but that's the hymn book of the Old Testament in your Bible, right in the middle of the Old Testament. All those Psalms. Beautiful prayers, best it can be. Whether you're feeling happy or feeling down, the Psalms are inspired by the Holy Spirit, including Psalm 51. And the little superscription, the fine print just before the psalm starts, is as old as the Hebrew text itself. So we understand that as having been inspired by God the Holy Spirit, which tells us why Psalm 51 is the most intimate look at just open confession and solid faith to receive forgiveness. This King of Israel committed adultery with the wife of one of his key troops, his soldiers, and then tried to cover up the fact by murdering her husband in battle, having been killed by the enemy along with other troops. It wasn't just Uriah the Hittite that died. This was despicable. But what's worse is that he went on for months trying to hide it by marrying the widow, as if somehow the Lord would not know this happened. And you and I might look at that and say, "What? David, how could you? How could we?" The longer you study God's word, and some of us get to do this all the time, we started with zero excuses. And each time we study, the farther we study, the fewer excuses we have. In fact, nothing actually has to be done or said. According to David in Psalm 51, he just freely admits, "I was sinful when my mother conceived me." without even drawing a breath outside the womb, that person who is a person at conception, according to God's own word, no question, that's life. Sinful, already enemies of God. How do you get from that to any kind of joy in God's presence, much less to an Easter celebration? See, God could have just let David go. Just, all right, have it your way. And David would have gone to hell. Because none of his works, none of his writing, even the inspired word of God could not save him if he was living in unbelief. And that's what unrepentance is. God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. In that long prophecy of Isaiah with 66 chapters, there's two times where it says the Lord looked around for somebody to help humanity with this. He looked around and there was no one. So his own right arm worked salvation. He did it himself. I've had people just blocks away from this church tell me how despicable it is that any God would tell his son to go and die for a bunch of people. Died for you and your sins too. I don't have any sins. Get off my driveway. It's true. We can just believe and follow our heart the way David did. Follow your heart and you will never find your way to heaven. Because God had to step in and do this, and he had to do it for King David with a prophet named Nathan. And I can just imagine him shaking in his sandals. Go tell the king. He could kill you, you know, if he doesn't like what you say. But David repented. And this whole psalm is about David's repentance. And that's why I love it. And why I've read it so many times. It's just there for you to come back to God when maybe you know what you said or didn't say, or did or didn't do, or maybe you're just feeling that guilt. Go back to the penitential psalms. This one's in the middle of the seven. And confess it to the Lord, and then wonder, why wasn't anybody happy on Easter? What's with the friends? Easter without the cross can't be. David knew that. Enemies? Still wanting Easter without an empty tomb? Well, maybe a related question is, why in the world were they so mad? Why get so angry with a man who actually never did anything wrong? He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to those with a speech impediment. We're not supposed to say dumb anymore, I guess, but that's what it was in the King James, right? So that the dumb could speak. They weren't stupid, they just couldn't talk. And he made them able to, and to walk, and he raised the dead. What's the problem? They didn't like what he said. He's the Word of God incarnate. And it's just kind of like today. People are okay if you want to be a Christian, sort of, just do it over there, right? Don't tell me about it, because that's your faith. No. But what makes them angry, and what made them angry then, is when Jesus claimed, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They're fine with Christianity being another faith, but to say it's the only faith, as the Bible does. And you know, in faith, you can ask the question, and it's a good question, if you can be saved by any other way, why did God's Son have to die for this way? His one and only begotten Son. Why so angry? And how do we get from that to, then you will be pleased with righteous sacrifices, burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And just hear it. Pastor, you said Jesus, the Lamb of God, was the last sacrifice. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. I said that to one of the shut-ins at home giving her communion this past week, and she said, thank God. Imagine if we still had to come and slaughter all those innocent animals. It was never enough because they couldn't wash away a single sin. When Jesus died, one sacrifice for all, and it was done. All for one for all, and all sins are gone, before and after. That's where he's going with this. Pleased with righteous sacrifices. It's his righteousness that he gives to us in that single sacrifice of Christ. And when he gives you the faith to believe that, and it is a gift of God, in your account in heaven, he writes all the righteousness that God requires. Do you know that? He opened a savings account for you in heaven when you were baptized or when you first came to faith, and it's full. It's full of the righteousness of God. He was given over to death because of our sins and raised to life because of our justification. And the Bible actually says he justified everybody. So believe it. Please believe it. Even Jonah in that prayer in the great fish when the Lord rescued him. Jonah talked about how people would forfeit the grace they could receive. Just believe it. Strong bulls of Bashan. If you travel in Israel today and go up north on the highway along the Jordan River, you come to the Sea of Galilee. You have to go around on the west side, that's Israeli territory, and then up over the north, and then up into the hills, Golan Heights. Been a lot in the news. Over the years, the Israelis have taken that territory over. They didn't like the Syrians up there lobbing rockets into Galilee, because that's still the breadbasket of Israel. But driving through there, it's bombed out villages and bombed out tanks, and don't go off the roads because the fields still have landmines in them. Cattle apparently aren't worried about the landmines. They're grazing all over those pastures. And all the way up to the northeast is into what was called ancient Bashan. That was cattle country. Strong bulls of Bashan, they understood this when David wrote it in Psalm 51, and when he said it back in Psalm 22. That's the my God, why have you forsaken me, Psalm, where he says, Psalm 22, verse 12, many bulls surround me, strong bulls from Bashan encircle me, enemies open their mouths wide against me. Angry animals. The enemies of God, as we are all by nature. Aren't too many of the guys here anymore. Some have gone to heaven or moved on that were on our first church council organizing. We call it now the Board for Lay Ministry. But there was a story I told them to kind of illustrate why we need to work together. Had to do with bulls. A friend had a cattle ranch, or was foreman on a cattle ranch, and South Dakota, 75,000 acres. 37 range bulls needed to be rounded up. So for 3 days, they took horses on the trailer to the far corners of the ranch and then drove the range bulls back to the ranch house. Gave me a horse that was too old for real cowboys, but plenty fast for me. And the ranch foreman said, I don't think a bull will take a man on a horse. But they're not used to walking together. They're range bulls. They have their territory, and they'll stop and fight along the way. One of them will lose. And when he runs away blindly, don't be in his path. Stay back. I did. What struck me, what impressed me, and this is what I shared with the brothers, because half of us here just had no church experience at all, and now God is going to teach us how to work together in a mission congregation. And 40 years later, we're still kind of learning these lessons. Love one another as I have loved you, brothers and sisters. That's what the Lord says. But from the back of a horse, when you're watching a range bull walking, you just, every step, you see the muscles just ripple down his back. First, I didn't know what I was seeing because it was something black, like a mat going like this. You know what I was looking at? is a black mat of flies. That's gross, isn't it? A black mat of flies. And every time his muscles rippled, the mat would go. Guys, don't be like range bulls. The Lord of Flies has nothing to say to us. We belong to the Lord. And how does he get us from being range bulls that can't work together to the point where we can? It's all in here, right? He gets to the heart. He turns these stubborn sinners into humble servants that really love him who loved us first, who could not sit there in heaven and enjoy all that glory of God without coming down here to suffer and die for us all and take the sins of everyone on him, even the sins of his enemies, and then speak some of his kindest words to his enemies. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Just believe. Trust. And when I have doubts, yes, and fears and anxieties, and then I see how patient Jesus was not only with his friends to finally convince them, but with his enemies too. You realize those enemies made sure that we didn't have to doubt Easter? Remember their biggest fear that the disciples would come and steal the body? Seal the tomb, post a guard, Pilate said, make sure. But they still try to tell the story that somehow a motley crew of Galilean fishermen overpowered these crack troops of Rome and stole the body. And people believe that. Instead of eyewitnesses and hundreds of them who were seeing Jesus for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And you and I, convinced as we are, have this sweet, sweet love of Jesus who gave his all for us. If you've been blessed to have a soulmate that you got to marry, you know how sweet God's design is for one man and one woman for life. What joy there is in completely giving yourself to each other, and that's how God gave himself for us, and why he calls himself the heavenly bridegroom and the church's bride. What does he want from us? He doesn't leave it to chance or questions or to wonder. He says in Romans chapter 12, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Uses a Greek word there that looks like liturgy. The liturgy of your life is to spend your days in thanksgiving to God, who already got it all done. In fact, the last verse of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me, Psalm says, for he has done it. And Jesus, before he gave up his spirit, said, it is finished. So the hope of heaven, yeah, sweet and solid. This is not just historical fact. This is a personal promise from God. Because he raised Jesus from the dead, your sins are forgiven. Your future is secure. Your Savior lives. And so shall you. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So dearly, dearly he has loved, and we must love him too. and trust in his redeeming love and try his works to do. And if you wonder what the judgment looks like, look at Matthew 25, where the king says to those on his right, as much as you gave a cup of cold water to a little child, or you visited me in prison, you did all these things for me. Come and enjoy your inheritance. In the meantime, my dear friends who have been taken from enemy bulls to docile sacrifices to God, just remember that here, as one sainted pastor liked to say, we're just on the porch. This is just the porch. Once you're inside the mansion already prepared for you, you won't worry about the porch anymore. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.